Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Walker Kimbrough, she will launch. Samuelson, nice pass there to Clark. Clark behind the back. Oh, and Smith with the finish. Brilliant from Caitlin Clark.
If you run.
The Caitlin Clark experience in Indy continues. We'll talk a little about that. And the Colts, we're diving through the Bills' schedule, going through the different opponents. We've not talked Colts yet. We will with Alexa Ross. You can follow her on Twitter at Alexa Ross TV, CBS for Indy. Morning, Alexa. How's it going?
Morning, guys. Good to see you. Good to talk to you.
Morning. How is the Caitlin Clark experience going? We're talking to you the day after also she had... Oh, wait, I want to double check this. No, she maybe had one game or two games with more points than she had last night. She had 29 last night.
Yeah, so yesterday... Team-wise, was a really bad game. She ended up going off in the fourth quarter, and good for her, because she's a huge reason as to why they were able to pull themselves out of the hole. This comes off the back of the first league triple-double for a rookie, which is also the first in franchise history as well. So I would say the Caitlin Clark experience is going as anticipated, and we're having a lot of fun.
Yeah. There's not, also, like, once we got past the USA basketball controversy that kind of became more of a controversy than maybe it should have, it feels like everyone's just kind of settled in and is just enjoying watching her play. I feel like I'm not taking in as much yelling about Caitlin Clark recently.
Yeah, I think that, you know, unfortunately there are a lot of people who have placed their expectations and their unresolved feelings about either women or minorities on her and Angel Reese, and I don't think that's fair to either of them because neither of them asked for that. I'm glad that it feels as though they're now, you know, Angel setting a franchise record setting a league record, with 13 straight double-doubles has kind of, you know, everybody can be quiet now. Everyone's allowed to be great. Everybody can be great. And it's great for the game when you have two young stars who are great. And I think people are just... I think Caitlin, as soon as she was like, please leave me out of this, everyone kind of chilled. Mm-hmm. And then once she hit the triple-double, it was kind of like, oh, okay, we can get back to basketball now, which is great because I've been so tired of it. You can't argue with people anymore. I just can't argue with anybody anymore. And the USA basketball stuff was worse.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, hey, let her rest. Let her take a break. She's not had a break since before the college season started last year. Like, she needs to just have a month to go home, see her parents, hang out. It's okay.
Yeah. Alexa, can you put in perspective? Can you put in perspective what it's been like in the city itself for her arrival, the just what the buzz has been and where it's gone since it started?
I mean, seeing Gainbridge Fieldhouse sell out for women's basketball, I think, has really given me such joy as a girl. Like, I was a little girl who loved basketball, and yesterday was the kids' day game. So noon tip, you know, a lot of camps, a lot of people coming out with their moms, their grandparents, things like that. And just to be here, defense being shouted by predominantly like the voices of little girls, I think kind of healed something inside of me, truthfully. But then on the other side, you see just anywhere you look, grown men in their 22 jerseys. And it's so cool because anytime I go outside of my house, anywhere in Indianapolis, it does not matter where I'm going, there someone is wearing either Fever gear or specifically Caitlin gear. And it's great. It's so great to see. And it's obviously great for the game, but it really, the environment in Gainbridge Fieldhouse feels like, truthfully feels better than it does for most Pacers games. Like, some of these regular season Fever games feel like what it felt like to watch the Pacers in the postseason.
Yeah.
Like that kind of crowd, that kind of energy.
And the team, I know you mentioned that the team didn't play well last night, but the team is playing better recently, are they not?
Correct, yeah. I mean, they started the season 1-8, and then they made it to 7-10. They've really turned things around. A big part of that is because their schedule was majorly front-loaded. They played 11 games in 20 days. So they got next to no practice together. You know, they were essentially just all of their practice were games. That was the only way they were really getting time on court to gel. And so now they've been able to take breaks and, you know, A, rest, but B, practice together and really kind of understand. They just got Timmy Fegbenle back as well from injury. Well, she was back for a second and now she's out again with a different injury. But to have a veteran voice kind of come back for a little bit also helps. Just, you know, it's fun to see them gelling and playing well together and have it not be like, oh, this is a fluke.
Yeah. They're 9-14 on the season now, the Fever, and Sunday they'll be on ESPN if anyone's looking for their games to watch some more Caitlin Clark. Still a bunch of national TV games the rest of the way. So good to hear. I'm glad to have a Caitlin Clark conversation that's not just, you know, feels poisonous, which we had a lot of in the middle there. But on the Colts, so we're a couple weeks away from training camp. We're 13 days, I know, away from at least the Bills camp, and I feel like a lot of the teams open on the same day. Bills and Colts, so that's going to be week 10 this season in Indy, November 10th. What is there any, well, actually, let's start right at the top. Anthony Richardson coming in year two after not playing much in year one. I guess, Alexa, my question would be, did Colts fans, and did you see enough of him to have any sort of guess of what he's going to look like this season?
We got a lot, you know, not in regular season play, but even seeing him in OTAs and last year in camp, I was sold. Just the way, I've never seen someone with a prettier release when you're throwing a ball. Not that it means everything, but just to see the fluidity of that motion makes me feel good about that. And then to see that come back after his shoulder surgery in OTAs earlier this year, I was like, okay, I think we're back. It feels like we didn't go that far. But I think that, you know, I think that what he's able to do with his legs in addition to his ability to throw, because, I mean, he can launch a ball. He is, so long as he has a good deep threat, I think that they're going to be really scary because he can do a lot on his own in the short game with his legs. And also having Jonathan Taylor helps. But if he, you know, whoever that deep threat is going to be, whether that's Alec Pierce or Adonai Mitchell, whoever battles for that spot, I'm interested to see how they utilize playing long versus short in the receiving game. But I think he's going to be great. I think that OTAs really solidified that, oh, this kid, he learned a lot when he wasn't stepping on a field, and I think that's probably going to make it him even better and maybe even a little scarier because he knows the playbook. Like, it's inside out, upside down, all of it, because he had to take mental reps because he was hurt.
Do you have the same conversations there with fans and media about, you went through it here when you were here, you know, with Josh Allen, is how much he can run, should run, the injury risk. You already had an injury there, right? Josh Allen got hurt. Now it wasn't running. It was in the pocket his rookie year, right? He got hit in the elbow or had an issue there. But that whole conversation, what's that been like surrounding Anthony Richardson, Alexa?
You know, I think that because we haven't seen it as much, you know, the either silly decisions or, you know, I think with Josh, it was kind of like, what are you going to learn, kid? Like, but that's the Josh Allen experience. And
right.
I don't think we've gotten to the Anthony Richardson experience because the plays he's gotten hurt on, talking to people, you know, on Twitter, people will be like, oh, don't run there. Don't run there. Like, you're going to get yourself hurt. Like, he got hurt on a football play, which stinks. You know, you don't want that to happen, period. But it's not like he made a bad decision or was, you know, playing hero ball and got hurt. And I don't know that we've had to have too much of that conversation because we haven't seen enough to start that conversation to know what kind of decisions he makes. Because, you know, in camp and friendly fire, you're not doing anything where you can get hurt by a teammate. And most people don't see the practices that we see anyway. But in game, you know, we didn't get him for that long. So I'm very curious to see if those conversations do mirror it or if we've started to, like, take the turn to realize that dual-threat quarterbacks are just going to be part of the norm of the game today. And we don't necessarily have that conversation because of we just generally don't have that conversation. I don't know. I can't give you the answer to that. I'd love to, but...
Yeah, maybe once, like, that would be, I think with Allen, that really started happening, like, once he really started getting games under his belt, and we all realized, like, how much running there really was. So, that could come for Richardson, but I wonder how much he'll have to. I mean, he's so good at it, at running, you'd think he's going to do it a big chunk of the time. But does it feel like the Colts have surrounded him with the right pieces to develop as a passer? Where, I mean, the coach feels like he's got the goods on that front. And receiver-wise, they're at least investing in it. I know their offensive line has the reputation still of being a great unit. You tell me if that's still true. But it feels like they're surrounding him the right way.
Yeah, I think the line... So there were issues last year with the line just with guys being hurt. And that's, you know, obviously having the inconsistency with the... Two seasons ago, the line was really inconsistent. They were just kind of rotating guys through. People were getting hurt. Last year, we had one major injury, so you had one guy subbed out. But with everybody back and healthy, it should be, at least up front, really good for Richardson because these guys are a brick wall. With the receivers, I mean, Michael Pittman Jr. is a guy who really – he's really reliable. He can do a lot. You know, he's not the – wide receiver one that everybody, you know, thinks when you think of wide receiver ones, like Steph, guys like Justin Jefferson, you know, guys like that. He might not have, like, the same star power associated with the name, but he's so reliable. He's really good. He will die for the ball. He's a big body receiver. And that's the thing. Anthony has so many bigger receivers. He has him. He has Alec Pierce. Alec Pierce put on about, he says he put on 7 pounds of muscle. I call Huey on that. He looks like he's at least like 15 pounds heavier of muscle. And, you know, but these guys are all like 6'4". And now you have his tight ends back for goal line packages because Jelani Woods was that guy 2 seasons ago before he got hurt. And he was, you know, in short yardage and just a really easy thing. You just put him in the end zone and that's an easy touchdown. So I think that they really have it, at least receiver-wise, working out well for him. And of course, if not, he can dump the ball off to Jonathan Taylor because Jonathan Taylor does what Jonathan Taylor does, and that's just, you know, pound it into the ground.
Yeah. You didn't mention Josh Downs, or maybe you did in passing and I just missed it. Downs, who we talked a lot about in the draft process last year for the Bills, he fell to the third round, but then, I mean, the numbers for a third round rookie were about as good as they'll ever be. So for him, I mean, he's smaller, right, slot, so you wouldn't think there's, like, a superstar capability there, but it feels like they've also struck gold a little bit with him.
Totally, and I think they feel the same way about Adonai Mitchell. I think that the two of them could be, you know, it just depends on who they want in the slot. And if they want AD to be the deep threat, I think he's going to challenge Alec Pierce for that. But, yeah, Josh Downs, he was phenomenal. He was so great to watch. He's so reliable, and I do think that having two guys who came in together – will be really helpful because they did work a lot together in their first camp. And obviously seeing Josh excel the way he did, I do think that their connection is going to be that much more important because he can kind of move around. He's really fly. He's shifty. He can get through people in a way that a guy like Pitt or Pierce can't because they're just too big. So I think that they have a really good range of receivers that they can utilize. I'm interested to see the Adonai Mitchell and Anthony Richardson connection as well, just what they can do, because I know that they really know each other's game very well. So I'm interested to see kind of how they pair together as a quarterback wide receiver duo.
Where are fans with Jonathan Taylor after everything that happened the season he had last year and now moving forward with without that kind of drama, but, you know, where he is in his career and the money he's making?
Yeah, I think people are expecting him kind of now to be now you're the vet, you know, now you're not just like the superstar, you're the vet. You're the vet of this offense and you need to be, you know, you need to be acting like that. You need to be on top of it. The drama last season was really hard to, you know, anytime you go into a situation like that where the market is being reset and somebody's trying to get their money, things get tense and uncomfortable and you just kind of want it to be over. Because Jonathan Taylor, the entire time I've covered him, has never been a guy who, at least at the beginning, was like, he never wanted to talk about himself. Never, not once. He could have had the best game of his career, and he'd just be like, oh, the team. So it was really weird to see the side of him that was very much like, well, not that it was weird, but, you know, everyone wants to get you paid their worth. And so to see him now get back into it, we don't have to worry about that. He can fully immerse himself in training camp. He can fully immerse himself back into this offense. I think that people are now expecting him to be the rock that Anthony Richardson can rely on in times of trouble or in a way that they can, you know, they want vintage Jonathan Taylor to continue to show up. And I think that that's possible. I don't, you know, especially with the offensive line being back healthy, there's no reason why he can't be. And I think that everyone's just hopeful that that's the case, that we get vintage Jonathan Taylor back because we didn't have to worry about a holdout or him not really being present at camp or off-season availabilities and things like that.
What is the biggest question mark about the defense going into training camp?
The secondary, for sure. I think that when your secondary is really young, there are a lot of questions. Last year, a lot of guys were hurt. A lot of people had to be subbed in. A lot of their draft picks. And they didn't make a move for a veteran corner the way people hoped they would. But with guys like Kenny Moore and Julian Thompson back, they're Julian Blackman, excuse me. They're guys who are reliable. They're guys who know what they're doing. They're guys who can set the expectation and the example to these younger guys. But now that people have been given time to heal, get healthy, you expect to see these younger guys that were drafted last year to really kind of explode and really do something special, because Rodney Thomas did a fine job, but there are guys who could do that job a little bit better. And, you know, you have a hometown kid in Juju Brents, who everyone was really excited about at Kansas State, who he showed really great flashes in the preseason, actually in Buffalo last year. He had a great game and he got hurt, and it was, you know, and he was one of many. I mean, they took a massive hit to the secondary. So I'm definitely interested to see what these younger guys do, because clearly Chris Ballard saw something in these young guys that they can lock it down and make it work, because most of their veterans are on the defensive line or linebackers, with Zaire Franklin, with DeForest Buckner, with, you know, with Grover Stewart. Those guys are older, experienced veterans. And you have the edges, you have Kwipe, you know, now we have, you know, when you draft a rookie, you have that too. So I'm definitely with Laiatu. So I don't know. I think that the biggest area where they can be exploited is going to be in the secondary, whether that be both at quarterback or at safety.
Yeah, I want to ask you about Zaire Franklin. Seventh round pick out of Syracuse. We have a lot of people here obviously follow that program, and me particularly, obviously, to ask you about him. But also, you know, from your hometown, Philadelphia, seventh round pick, just signs an extension. Great success story. Zaire Franklin's done a really nice job considering where he's come from.
Oh, yeah. And I think that he's really the, I think he really is the prototypical underdog story, just generally. Yeah. You know, you go to, you start growing up, you grow up in North Philadelphia, you go to Syracuse, you get widely overlooked until and you get drafted and a team takes a chance on you and you work your way up from the bottom. You work your way up from special teams to become like the premier linebacker on your team and get paid the money you're worth. It's incredible to see the way he gives back to the community, the way all of the communities that he's been a part of, truthfully, not just here in Philadelphia, but, you know, beyond as well. And the way he's done it with such class and such grace and such, you know, kindness, but pair that with his tenacity on the field. You know, I mean, when you're the league's leading tackler and you're still not getting that recognition, you know, there's still that chip on your shoulder until you get paid. And I'm glad he was paid what he's worth because he's a great guy. He's a great person to cover and he's a monster on the field. And I think a lot of people were afraid when Darius Leonard left, that he was going to, like what was going to happen with the linebacker core, but Zaire, you know, very easily took over and has become the heartbeat of that defense.
How do you think about Alexa Ross on the Western Hotline for another minute or two? How do you think about the division? The Texans are getting a lot of love. They trade for Diggs. I mean, that's obvious that that was going to happen, and they're one of the favorites to win the AFC. And I had to just remind myself and look up that they almost missed the playoffs last year, right? Like, you remind me if this is accurate in that final game of the year, but the Colts had 4th-and-1 from the Texans 15 with a minute to go, down 6, with not even the quarterback they drafted to be the franchise guy. Like, they had the Texans on the ropes. I do wonder, like, how differently we would be talking about these AFC South teams and even Houston had the Colts finished off that drive.
Absolutely. I mean, you're preaching to the choir here. I mean, we were a minute away from hosting a home playoff game, which, you know, and the conversation's completely different. And the Texans are just another team in the AFC South that, like, could be good and likely will be good because they have, you know, you have CJ Stroud at quarterback and, you know, you make all these moves and stuff. And I still think they would have made these moves in the offseason to get Diggs anyway, because they feel like they are in a win now situation. That being said, if Anthony Richardson is playing that entire season, I think this is a completely different conversation. I really do. I think that, you know, to be able to have the season that they did with Gardner Minshew largely at the helm, you know, with the offense but to be fair, they prepared well for this. They were splitting the rotation with the ones in camp. They were both taking reps with the ones. And so they weren't in a terrible situation with him taking over. It wasn't like a guy who didn't know what was going on. It's a guy that Shane Steichen knew well. But I do think that the AFC South is going to be a lot tighter than people realize. Obviously, the Jaguars are kind of a mess, and we don't know what the Titans are going to look like because the Titans essentially just did a giant overhaul. But with the Colts, and I think the Colts and the Texans, it's going to be a really fun divisional rivalry that's renewed because of the two young quarterbacks, because of new coaches, because of just their hunger to do something for their franchise. And I think that at least those two teams are the ones you're going to need to keep watching in the AFC South, because I don't think the Jags are much is going to change there. And I don't think we have enough information to know what's going to go on with the Titans.
Alexa Ross, at Alexa Ross TV on Twitter, one of our favorites over in Indy. Thanks, Alexa. We'll talk once the season gets rolling.
Sounds good. Talk to you guys then.
Thanks, Alexa.
Thanks, Alexa.
Bills and Colts, November, week 10. Yeah, I'm looking up that game. Was that was a primetime game, wasn't it? Was it like a Saturday night? Maybe the Texans and the Colts.
Which one?
Yes. Or was it Sunday night for the division?
I think it was a Saturday for that.
Okay.
Ooh, wait a minute. You're right, because they don't play Saturday in that final week. Was it the final week? Was it before the Bills played the Dolphins? Was it the night before?
Right. The Bills and Dolphins was the Sunday night game.
On.
So it would have had.
Right, I'm gonna, now you're making me. Okay, go ahead.
There was a 4:30 and an 8 o'clock game on the Saturday of week 18.
Okay, there was.
It was the early game was Ravens and Steelers. I don't remember, were there implications on that? Yeah, Pittsburgh.
Steelers had to win to make the playoffs, yes.
Right, and Baltimore played their backups?
Yes.
And then the night game that night was this Texans at Colts game, winner wins the AFC South, that came down to the wire. And okay, now I remember this game, because do you remember the play? Fourth and one?
Was it Jonathan Taylor dropped the pass?
It wasn't Jonathan Taylor that dropped the pass. It was a running back. So it was fourth.
Wasn't Zach Moss?
It was fourth and one, and they threw the pass to their third string running back.
Yeah, and it was kind of behind him, but he should have caught it.
Yes, right. It was a little behind him, but probably should have caught it. Goodson. I'm looking up Tyler Goodson, who had only had six catches all season. They went to, and that's what I remember being very critical about, was, you know, I don't know if I need you to run it. It's fourth and one with a minute six left on the 15. You actually maybe should run it, right? Just go get the yard. Sneak it, right? That's got to be what I was saying then, is sneak the ball. It's fourth and one. Go get your yard, and then you've got first and 10 on the 14 to win the division. And what they did instead is they brought the third string running back out, and they threw the ball to him in the flat, and he couldn't, and he didn't make the catch because it was a little bit off, and they lost the football game.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Indianapolis, 803-0550 is the phone number. We've got a loaded 9 o'clock hour coming up. We've got Wyatt Russell. We're getting our actor chops in on the show today. He's got a Buffalo connection. He's in town. We'll talk with him about that. I want to ask him about the movie Miracle, even though his dad was in that, but his movie career too. I've got IMDb open in preparation for 9:30. And then at 9 o'clock, we'll talk with Marty Schimmel. Porter Cup's coming up this week. Me and Sal played Niagara Falls Country Club yesterday. The rough is thick. The rough is very thick.
2 days ago, we played.
2 days ago.
Couldn't play yesterday. It was pretty rainy yesterday. We played golf yesterday. Good for you.
Yeah, playing yesterday.
Probably would have been a little tough.
I think, the rain. What's the worst weather you've ever played golf in?
Oh, I've played in some pouring rain, and I hate it. But, you know, you're already out there, and it starts pouring. Yeah. Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah. I don't think I've ever played in pouring rain. Oh, no. Okay, one time. Hickory Stick a few years ago, and not only was it raining heavily, it was 50-mile-per-hour winds. Like, walking down one of the holes, like, okay, we can't do this. This is stupid. We need to go to the clubhouse because I can't see. I'm walking, and I can't even see because the water's just pelting me in the face. Would have been probably the worst weather I've ever
been. When you live in Florida and play golf, at some point you're going to play in pouring rain.
Right. Because it just hits like that, like in an instant.
Right.
803-0550 is the phone number. Who's going to lead the Bills wide receivers in catches? Take Kincaid out of the picture for a moment. Who's going to be their most productive wide receiver? We haven't taken a call on that yet today. Would love to, though, if you want to get in on it, 803-0550. Jody Biasi, Sal Capaccio here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
How do you handle losing? Be straight.
Not at all. I really hate it. Okay. I hate losing more than I love winning.
Okay, and then how do you handle not being involved early in the game?
I handle it pretty tough, especially, you know, during the week.
That's what I'm looking for.
Been in the offense, you know, in the week, you know, putting in the work with the one offense, getting a lot of plays, you know, known to be called for me. So if I'm not in those plays and not getting the ball, you know, I have pretty hard on it.
I don't mind that. You know, I want guys that want to get the ball, and I want guys that hate losing. But you got to learn how to harness that a little bit.
Right.
I don't mind a competitive juice, man. That's what you need, some dogs.
Right.
I want guys that want the ball.
Yes, man.
That's from the Hard Knocks episode. Episode 2, Giants offseason. It's Brian Daboll in the pre-draft interview, the combine interview with Malik Nabers. And I saw that, and I mean, how can you not love Brian Daboll? One, and two, I mean, that's what you want, right? Like, he's not also saying, like, you can't let it get out of control. Like, he does say there, like, you got to learn how to harness that. But I think the Bills are this too. They had Diggs, and they coexisted with him for years. So I'm not saying they're not this. But I think what I'd want out of a coach and an NFL team when it comes to receivers who sometimes will get labeled divas because they want the ball would be, I think you want the guy to want the ball. You just don't want it to get, you just don't want it to get silly. You don't want it to get stupid.
Yeah, I mean, do you, I'm trying to think. It was Marvin Harrison Jr.
Mm-hmm.
and his dad. They were doing an interview. And I love Marvin Harrison Sr., obviously. Went to Syracuse. Ooh. Had a great career in the NFL.
I think I know what you're about to mention. A little off the top of my head, I don't remember the exact quote, but yeah,
his
there was
dad
something.
Was like, basically, like, if you're not getting the ball, you need to go in there and like yell at people.
Yeah.
Like something like that. It was crazy, right? I'm like, wait a minute, what? What is going on here? But he was, yeah, and his dad was like, yeah, you're the guy. You got to get the ball. And yeah, there's a fine line to walk there, Joe, right? Which is, you want people on your team who want the ball in their hands all the time.
Mm-hmm.
What you don't want is those people to make it about them getting the ball. You want them to want the ball because they want to make a difference, but also understand the construct of the team. And, you know, Stephon Diggs did not get the ball thrown to him at all, probably two, three times maybe, and he had nothing in the 4-touchdown game for Gabe Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bills lost, and of course, Davis had this monster game, so no one really made too big of a deal, but Stephon was asked about it. And I remember him saying, like, why would I care? Look what this guy did. Like,
right.
Come on, right? Like, I'm helping him by doing what I'm doing. If they're concentrated on me, he didn't take credit. That's not what he was doing.
Right.
But he was like, I'm a team player, and I always respected that. So when people made a really big deal about him throwing up his arms and the situation against Cincinnati in the Bills playoff game, I had thought back to that game against Kansas City, and I'm like, I don't think Stephon's complaining that, like, you need to throw me the ball, throw me the ball, throw me the ball. What he's probably doing is telling Josh, hey, on that play, like, I can beat my guy, and, like, we got to, like, it's not about me getting the ball. Like, I think I can win. You know what I mean? I think there's a difference there.
Yes.
It's not about being selfish to get the ball on targets. It's about, I'm beating my guy, and if you look over there, like, you got to take a look. Something like that was always been what I thought was going on there.
Yeah. And Diggs, I remember the interview he did after that Chiefs loss, 13 seconds, where he talked about Davis's game and how like he didn't ever ask to like be thrown the ball during that game because he knew what the Chiefs were doing. The Chiefs were pushing everything to his side, and they were putting their other corner on an island against Gabe Davis. And Diggs is smart. He can look across the field and see that Davis was cooking that dude on every play. So why in the world would he ever go to anybody and say, like, give me the ball? There is also, though, like, Brady, me and Jeremy talked about this Brady clip from a couple weeks ago. Brady was on, I think, Colin Cowherd, and Cowherd was setting him up, asking about receivers and wanting the ball, and Brady kind of went the opposite way that Cowherd thought he was going to, because Brady started going in on, no, like, I wanted to get my top receivers. I wanted to, even if I had to manufacture it, like on a screen or something, we wanted to get our top receivers involved early in the game because we wanted to make sure that guy was in rhythm and that there wasn't anything mentally going on with him, right? Like, working throughout the week, like Neighbors said there, and then not touching the ball to like the third quarter. Like, Brady's like, no, I wanted to make sure my top guys were getting the ball early so that they would get engaged in the game. And again, I'm not saying that, though, is something the Bills haven't done. The Chiefs playoff game last year, I mean, the play was almost a catastrophe, but what was the first called play of that game? They threw a screen to Stephon Diggs.
Didn't they do the same thing in the game against the Chargers very, very early?
That sounds familiar. I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, that was happening for the Bills at the end of the year last year.
They'll do it. While Diggs, he would command attention. I wonder, like, that would be important to have one guy, whether it's a Samuel or a Coleman or a Kincaid even, to really have a big step this year to kind of command that same level of attention. Because I do think, like, I had one caller late last week, it was a tweeter earlier in the week that was trying to make the case that Gabe Davis would have been a better player had Stephon Diggs not been here. And I don't know, I think when you have a guy like that, it does help others. Like, Khalil Shakir's of the world and Davis's of the world, like, if there's more attention spent on the dig side of things, you've got more area, you've got more space to operate. And this Bills offense, I wonder if they'll have any form of that. I don't know if they'll need it. If they have so many guys that are performing, then maybe you won't need it. But that's definitely an element of Diggs' game, is the command of double teams and attention that he would have that I always thought would make it easier on other receivers. 803-0550 is the phone number. Rob in Connecticut is waiting patiently. What's up, Rob?
Good morning, Sal and Joe. I just wanted to say you guys have been doing a phenomenal job bringing great material and information to us, myself.
Thanks, Rob.
Absorbing it all. And speaking of, Zach and Josh have been holding it down, boy. They came up with some great stuff as well. I love the fact that we're talking about the receiving court. You know, for myself, what I wanted to say was that I'm actually looking very forward to the 2024 season compared to last year's receiving core. What I'm looking for this year, and I'm very, very excited, clutch, productive member of the Buffalo Bills receiving core, which will benefit Josh Allen because I believe he's going to be able to spread it out more. I don't believe you need that number one. And I feel that Shakir is going to be the go-to most of the time. But like I said, but I think Josh Allen's going to definitely spread the ball around a lot. It's going to be beneficial for him. Don't sleep on this receiving core at all. Everybody else is. I believe they're going to do very well. They're going to surprise a lot of people. So with that, I will leave it at that.
Yeah. Thanks, Rob. Thanks, Rob, for the call. Getting connected with our fans, by the way, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. That's another vote for Khalil Shakir being a go-to guy is a little strong for me, though. Like, I think if Shakir, here's how I'd put it. I think if Shakir leads this team in receptions, it is what the Bills are planning on or maybe are even hoping for, which is they've got four guys that are all, you know, right near him at the top. You know what I mean? Like, it won't be Shakir running away from the pack. It'll be Shakir's leading a group that's all kind of close together because it's been spread around so much.
Right.
That'd be my guess.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's going to be like some wide gap between, you know, one and two.
Right. Yep. Me too. 803-0550 is the phone number. Marty Schimmel from the Porter Cup coming up in 15 minutes, so we'll talk with him. We got Wyatt Russell coming up at 9:30, so we got a packed 9:30 hour. If you want to get a phone call in, next segment would be the time to do it at 803-0550 here on WGR.
Joe, do you know what an immaculate inning is in baseball?
An immaculate inning. All strikes. No balls. Is my guess.
That is correct. So what? How many total pitches?
Nine? Like straight through?
That is correct. That is an immaculate inning.
Wow.
Three strikeouts, all on three pitches.
Okay. That happened?
It happened last night in Major League Baseball. Nine pitches, nine strikes. Michael Kopech, excuse me, for the Chicago White Sox. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to guess how often it happens?
I would bet it's pretty rare. Like
it is.
How rare though? What's rare? I mean, there's been like 150 years of baseball. Once a decade.
More than that, but it is rare. Okay. It is only happened. You got to think about how many games there are all the time. But
yeah.
It is the 116th ever in Major League Baseball history.
Right. When you have 162
which, by the
games
way,
a year in
okay,
the
so
150
a,
years. Yeah.
Right. So there's 116 immaculate innings. Have there been more or less no hitters?
That's what I was just going to wonder. I bet there's more. Oh, wait. There have been so many recently, though, haven't there? I might say more no-hitters.
There have been.
Yeah.
The immaculate inning is more rare than a no-hitter or a cycle. It is only the second in White Sox history. The last time came 101 years ago.
Okay.
Crazy.
Yeah. Wait, one more time. What hasn't happened in 101 years? I think I misheard you.
A White Sox pitcher throwing immaculate
inning. White Sox pitcher doing it.
Hasn't happened in 101 years.
Okay. Is that, it's definitely not more rare than, did you see what the guy in the senior golf tour did last week?
Yeah. That's incredibly rare. That's one in millions and millions and millions.
I want to predict that's the rarest thing that's ever happened in sports, like professional sports. Back-to-back hole-in-ones.
The circumstances alone have to be set up. They're pretty rare.
Crazy. Back-to-back par threes general is super rare. And then to hit two hole-in-ones on it. Speaking of baseball, are we going to get like a Aaron Judge Ohtani home run race? Because they're 1-2 right now. Judge, I guess, is a little ahead, isn't he? I got to look. 24 home runs ahead. But man, I know it's not going to be, Sosa and McGuire. But what is better for baseball to market and to get interest than a home run chase? And I mean, could you pick two guys in the sport you'd rather be going at it if you were going to have one than these two?
No, it's great. I love it. We might get one.
Ohtani's got a Judge. I mean, Judge had a crazy month, didn't he? That he kind of just started pulling away a little bit.
Listen. Judge has been. He hasn't been as good lately. I mean, none of the Yankees really hitting that great lately. But I will tell you this: if you take out Aaron Judge's April, Aaron Judge was recovering from an injury in training camp, spring training, so he didn't get a full spring training. So April was kind of like his preseason, right? Which it showed. He didn't hit very well in April. You can't take it away. But Joe, if you did and you only counted since May 1st, like Aaron Judge is historically, his numbers are historic. But because of, even with a bad April, he's still hitting .307 with 32 home runs.
Yeah. Yeah, that's wild. If he hadn't been recovering from an injury, I mean, could he have been...
Right.
Near the 62 home run pace he was at 2 years ago?
Maybe. I mean, the home run is one. Yes, probably. I mean,
for
probably
runs,
talking
yeah.
about you add another three or four home runs. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's at 32 right now. Ohtani's at 28. Gunnar Henderson, 27. So there's a bunch of guys there, too, there with Ohtani. But Judge is still leading the pack with four. And Ohtani's not even pitching. Next year, I think he's going to be pitching.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at the numbers now to compare the two. I mean, Ohtani is great. We know that, right?
Yep.
Ohtani has 10 more hits. Judge has 4 more home runs. But how about Ohtani leads by 10 points, 317, 307. They're both hitting well. Judge has a higher on base, a higher slugging.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, it's amazing what both these guys are doing.
Is speaking of, while we're on the Yankees and we have like 1 minute here, I'm like a casual Blue Jays fan, I would describe myself as. Like, when they have a bad season, I'm not really that plugged in. And this year is, I mean, they're last in the AL East. So, you know, this year would qualify. Although, I had been tracking a little bit, not in like a week, but wasn't there a story about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and how he had said in the past that he would never play for the Yankees? But
yes.
Then recently, do I have this right?
Yes.
That after talking with his dad, maybe he would be open to it now?
I think what happened was, and I could be a little bit wrong on this. I read a little bit on this.
Okay.
So his dad, like, it goes back with his dad. His dad, like, never liked the Yankees. There was something there, like, and he's like, yeah, this goes back to my dad. I'll never play for the Yankees. Like, I'm never going to play for that franchise. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Well, he has 1 year left on his deal after this year. And the Blue Jays are not good, and
right.
They're going to go through a transition. They're going to probably fire a lot of people, and they might have to reset the organization. And there's a big debate going on whether or not they should trade Vlad Guerrero either at this deadline mm-hmm. or in the offseason. Well, the Yankees happen to have, and now it's cooled off a little bit, the Yankees have an injury at first base with Anthony Rizzo.
Right.
And they're looking for a guy. Well, guess what? Now, maybe not as much because... they have, what's his name? I'm blanking on the name now. For the Yankees, he's played great since he's come into at playing first base for the Yankees, and he's mm-hmm. hitting great right now. Ben Rice. I was thinking of Greg.
Okay.
Ben Rice is hitting really well. But yeah, so it doesn't have to be the Yankees. It could be anybody. But the Yankees specifically, that was brought up a few weeks ago when I was in Toronto actually for the game. It was right around that time. And they said, hey, what do you think? Like, this is it's going to be your last year next year. That something could happen. It could even be the Yankees. And he basically said, well, it is a business.
Hmm. So he's definitely softened on it a little bit. Yeah. While you were talking, I just found the quote. But this is a business. I sat down and spoke with my dad and my family, and this is a business. And I said I would never, again, talk about this topic, and lots of people have asked me about it.
By the way, speaking of that, for all you Yankee fans listening, I am curious. I should ask, this could be we don't talk a lot of baseball, but I am curious.
Yeah.
From Yankee fans. Is Ben Rice, like, do you take him out of the lineup when Anthony Rizzo's healthy? I don't think you do.
I don't know if it would qualify as a controversy.
Little Wally Pipp here with Lou Gehrig.
Yeah, it's a good problem to have. Is this problem. The Yankees in second place in the AL East, just behind the Orioles at the moment. Yeah, we can get a little baseball in if we have time coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. But we have Marty coming up from the Porter Cup, Niagara Falls Country Club, Wyatt Russell. We, you know, it's July 11th, and chance to have on an actor who's in things I've seen, the Monarch series on Apple TV he's in, among other things, and he's in town. So we're going to have Wyatt Russell on coming up at 9:30. So coming up, fun 9 o'clock hour, and we'll try to squeeze in some phone calls if you want to call in on anything Bills receiver related, or if you want to call in on the Yankees first base. 803-0550 is the phone number. Jody Biasi, Sal Capaccio, this is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. you remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Joe, do you know what an immaculate inning is in baseball?
An immaculate inning. All strikes. No balls. Is my guess.
That is correct. So what? How many total pitches?
Nine? Like straight through?
That is correct. That is an immaculate inning.
Wow.
Three strikeouts, all on three pitches.
Okay, that happened?
It happened last night in Major League Baseball. Nine pitches, nine strikes. Michael Kopech, excuse me, for the Chicago White Sox. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to guess how often it happens?
I would bet it's pretty rare. Like,
it is.
How rare, though? What's rare? I mean, there's been like 150 years of baseball. Once a decade?
More than that, but it is rare. Okay. It is only happened. You got to think about how many games there are all the time. But
yeah.
it is the 116th ever in Major League Baseball history.
Right. When you have 160 years. Yeah.
Right. So there's 116 immaculate innings. Have there been more or less no hitters?
That's what I was just going to wonder. I bet there's more. Oh, wait. There have been so many recently, though, haven't there? I might say more no-hitters.
There have been.
Yeah.
The immaculate inning is more rare than a no-hitter or a cycle. It is only the second in White Sox history. The last time came 101 years ago.
Okay.
Crazy.
Yeah. Wait, what? Wait, one more time. What hasn't happened in 101 years? I think I misheard you.
A White Sox pitcher throwing immaculate
inning. White Sox pitcher doing it.
Hasn't happened in 101 years.
Okay. Is that, it's definitely not more rare than, did you see what the guy in the senior golf tour did last week?
Yeah. That's incredibly rare. That's one in millions and millions and millions.
I want to predict that's the rarest thing that's ever happened in sports, like professional sports.
The circumstances alone have to be set up. They're pretty rare.
Crazy. Back-to-back par threes general is super rare. And then to hit two hole-in-ones on it. Speaking of baseball, are we going to get like a Aaron Judge Ohtani home run race? Because they're 1-2 right now. Judge, I guess, is a little ahead, isn't he? I got to look. 24 home runs ahead. But man, I know it's not going to be, Sosa and Maguire. But what is better for baseball to market and to get interest than a home run chase? And I mean, could you pick two guys in the sport you'd rather be going at it if you were going to have one than these two?
No, it's great. I love it. We might get one.
Ohtani's got a Judge. I mean, Judge had a crazy month, didn't he? That he kind of just started pulling away a little bit.
Listen. Judge has been. He hasn't been as good lately. I mean, none of the Yankees really hitting that great lately. But I will tell you this: if you take out Aaron Judge's April, Aaron Judge was recovering from an injury in training camp, spring training, so he didn't get a full spring training. So April was kind of like his preseason, right? Which it showed. He didn't hit very well in April. You can't take it away. But Joe, if you did and you only counted since May 1st, like Aaron Judge is historically, His numbers are historic. But because of, think of, even with a bad April, he's still hitting .307 with 32 home runs.
Yeah. Yeah, that's wild. If he hadn't been recovering from an injury, I mean, could he have been
right
near the 62 home run pace he was at 2 years ago?
Maybe. I mean, the home run is one. Yes, probably. I mean, you add another 3 or 4 home runs. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's at 32 right now. Otani's at 28. Gunnar Henderson, 27. So there's a bunch of guys there, too, there with Otani. But Judge is still leading the pack with 4. And Otani's not even pitching. Next year, I think he's going
to
be pitching.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at the numbers now to compare the two. I mean, Otani is great. We know that, right?
Yep.
Otani has 10 more hits. Judge has 4 more home runs. But how about Otani leads by 10 points, .317, .307. They're both hitting well. Judge has a higher on base, a higher slugging.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's amazing what both these guys are doing.
Speaking of, while we're on the Yankees, and we have like 1 minute here, I'm like a casual Blue Jays fan, I would describe myself as. Like, when they have a bad season, I'm not really that plugged in. And this year they're last in the AL East. So, you know, this year would qualify. Although, I had been tracking a little bit, not in like a week, but wasn't there a story about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and how he had said in the past that he would never play for the Yankees? But
yes.
Then recently, do I have this right?
That yes.
After talking with his dad, maybe he would be open to it now?
I think what happened was, and I could be a little bit wrong on this. I read a little bit on this.
Okay.
So his dad, like, it goes back with his dad. His dad, like, never liked the Yankees. There was something there, like, and he's like, yeah, this goes back to my dad. I'll never play for the Yankees. Like, I'm never going to play for that franchise. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Well, he has 1 year left on his deal after this year. And the Blue Jays are not good, and
right.
They're going to go through a transition. They're going to probably fire a lot of people, and they might have to reset the organization. And there's a big debate going on whether or not they should trade Vlad Guerrero either at this deadline or in the offseason. Well, the Yankees happen to have, and now it's cooled off a little bit, the Yankees have an injury at first base with Anthony Rizzo.
Right.
And they're looking for a guy. Well, guess what? Now, maybe not as much because they have, what's his name? I'm blanking on the name now. For the Yankees, he's played great since he's come into at playing first base for the Yankees, and he's hitting great right now. Ben Rice. I was thinking of Greg.
Okay.
Ben Rice is hitting really well. But yeah, so it doesn't have to be the Yankees. It could be anybody. But the Yankees specifically, that was brought up a few weeks ago when I was in Toronto actually for the game. It was right around that time. And they said, hey, what do you think? Like, this is it's going to be your last year next year. That something could happen. It could even be the Yankees. And he basically said, well, it is a business.
So he's definitely softened on it a little bit. Yeah. While you were talking, I just found the quote. But this is a business. I sat down and spoke with my dad and my family, and this is a business. And I said I would never, again, talk about this topic, and lots of people have asked me about it.
By the way, speaking of that, for all you Yankee fans listening, I am curious. I should ask, this could be we don't talk a lot of baseball, but I am curious.
Yeah.
From Yankee fans, is Ben Rice, like, do you take him out of the lineup when Anthony Rizzo's healthy? I don't think you do.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it would qualify as a controversy.
Little Wally Pipp here with Lou Gehrig.
Yeah. It's a good problem to have. Is this problem. The Yankees in second place in the AL East, just behind the Orioles at the moment. Yeah, we can get a little baseball in if we have time coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. But we have Marty coming up from the Porter Cup, Niagara Falls Country Club, Wyatt Russell. It's July. It's July 11th, and chance to have on an actor who's in things I've seen, the Monarch series on Apple TV. He's in, among other things, and he's in town. So we're gonna have Wyatt Russell on coming up at 9:30. So coming up, fun 9 o'clock hour, and we'll try to squeeze in some phone calls if you want to call in on anything Bills receiver related, or if you want to call in on the Yankees first base. 803-0550 is the phone number. Jody Biasi, Sal Capaccio. This is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. In thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.